Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here this morning. My name is Ryan. I'm a pastor here at Community Church at Murphy's Landing. We want to welcome you if you're joining us online or your first time or first couple of times. We want to welcome you here. We're so glad you're here this morning. And as we open up God's Word together, let's also open up in prayer. God, thank you for the gift of your Son that we're celebrating this Advent season. And we thank you also for the gift of your word that we're going to explore this morning. And we thank you that you reveal yourself to us not only through the advent of Jesus Christ and your word made flesh, but also in the word that we hold before us. And so I pray that you would make yourself known to us through your word this morning and through your Holy Spirit and change us. And we pray all of this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. All right, so today we're continuing in our Advent series on the five aspects of the Advent wreath. So if you'll remember with me, back to our first Sunday, we talked about how the five different candles can represent different things, and there's a couple different traditions. And the tradition that we're going with here is that these candles represent hope, love, joy, peace, and Christ. Those are the five candles. And so what we want to do with this series is not just explore each of these different ideas of hope, love, joy, and peace, but we want there to be a little bit extra, a little bit more. How can we have more of this? After all, you can just sit there and think, okay, I've got hope and love and joy and peace, so, you know, what's this got to do with me? And so that means that this week we're looking at the gift of, or we're looking at the candle of peace, and what we're going to see is that peace is a gift. And that's appropriate for the Christmas season, right? This is the season where we wrap gifts and we put them under the tree. Or for the rest of us, maybe you're thinking about all the gifts that are under the tree that have your name on it, more so than the ones that you're wrapping and putting under. But how are we supposed to think of peace as a gift? You can't wrap peace up in wrapping paper and put it under the tree like you can Rock'em Sock'em Robots, right? Well, what we're going to unfold is how peace is a gift, both one that we're given and then what we can also the one that we can give to others as we work through the Bible today. And we're going to start off by defining peace from the biblical languages. And then we're going to look at the sources for peace and where peace can be found. And then we'll look at what brings peace into people's lives and what peace does once it enters into someone's life. And then finally, we're going to look at what we're supposed to do with this peace once we have it. So, what exactly is peace when you look at that concept in Scripture? Well, in Hebrew, and we heard that in the video, that the word usually used for peace is the word shalom. It is the word that people would use to greet one another. They would say shalom instead of hello. It's a very flexible word that can take lots of different nuances and lots of different contexts. But the core ideas contained within the idea of shalom are the ideas of harmony and wholeness. Harmony and wholeness. And this is something that makes sense when you think about the most common usage of the word peace. When two groups are warring against each other, they can sue for peace. And when those two parties agree to a peace treaty, what does it mean? It means that there's harmony between the two groups, or at least there's enough harmony that they no longer have to fight each other. Or think about the usage of the word peace when talking about those who have passed away. We say, rest in peace. This doesn't quite make sense if we think of peace simply in the terms of a lack of conflict. It's kind of hard for those who have passed on to be in conflict with someone else. Rather, when we think of peace in this way, we think of the idea of wholeness or completeness. We want those who have passed on to rest in the completeness of their life. And I think when we think of peace as harmony and wholeness instead of merely the absence of conflict, we get a much fuller, richer and deeper understanding of what peace means in our lives. It's not just the absence of conflict. It's so much more beautiful than that. So I invite you to join me in discovering more about peace by turning to the book of Isaiah with me. If you have a physical Bible with you, you can go ahead and turn that to Isaiah chapter 9, where we're going to be at this morning. If you have a Bible app or internet browser, you can go ahead and turn that to Isaiah 9. If you don't have a Bible with you or easy access to the Bible on your phone, words are going to be up on the screen behind me, and we also have Bibles available for free in the lobby. We'd love for you to pick one up. All right, please stand with me as you are able in honor of the reading of God's Word. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, I picked this passage to start off our time together because it's one of the most famous passages during Christmas time. This is one of those prophecies made about Jesus hundreds of years before his birth. And that last descriptor of Jesus, the title mentioned in this passage, is that he is the Prince of Peace. He is the royalty over peace. And this is because God is the source of all peace. We see this concept applied to Jesus, but it also applies to God the Father as well. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul tells us that God, our God, is not a God of disorder, but the God of peace. All harmony and wholeness are found in God. God is the one who gives harmony and wholeness to all things. I could list off 10 different Bible verses that tell us that God is the one who gives us peace, but I'll just read one for us this morning in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and every way. The Lord be with all of you. And this makes sense when we think of God as our creator, right? If God is the one who made us, who formed us and created us into being in his image, then our wholeness as human beings is tied to being what God made us to be. Since God is our creator, he is the one who can bring us wholeness. Since we were made in his image, then wholeness means being made more and more like God. Now, this is a beautiful picture, but it's a dangerous one, because the idea of becoming more like God is what caused big problems for humanity. In fact, those are the very words that Satan himself whispered to the first man and the first woman. You see, Adam and Eve were instructed not to eat from the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but Satan tempted them to disobey God by telling them that by eating from the tree, they will, quote, become like God. And the problem is not that Adam and Eve wanted to be like God. It's that they wanted to be God. They wanted to be like God beyond the bounds of what he told us. And when Adam and Eve tried to be gods themselves, they let sin into the world. And now all of us are marked by sin. All of us live our lives trying to be God. We reject what God has told us to do, instead declaring that we would rather determine right and wrong for ourselves, just like Adam and Eve did. And the punishment for wanting to replace God is that God gives us exactly what we're looking for. We ask to be our own gods, and so God gives us an eternity apart from him. But what we often fail to remember is that an eternity where we get to be God and we are away from God is hell, literal, actual hell. And we spend an eternity reaping the rewards of rejecting God's blueprint that he made for us. But our God is a God of peace. Isn't he? We just read that. If God is a God of harmony and holiness, surely there's a path for us to be restored. And friends, you're exactly right, and this is one of the other sources of peace. It's the gospel. You see, God made a way for us to have harmony and wholeness again, and it's through the gospel. The gospel is simply the good news of Jesus Christ. God wanted peace to be restored to us, so he made a way for that to happen. God sent his son, the Prince of Peace, to earth. This is what we're celebrating this Christmas season. The coming of Jesus brings peace. How? How does it bring peace? Well, our rebellion against God has a punishment that must be paid. Jesus came so that he could take the punishment instead. Jesus died on the cross, bearing the punishment in our place. And then he rose from the dead, conquering death and making it possible not only for us to be forgiven by God, but by making it possible for us to have power to live our lives in peace. Isaiah 53:4-6 says, "Yet he," meaning Jesus, "himself bore our sicknesses and he carried our pains, but we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all." When we repent of our sins, When we repent of trying to replace God in our lives with ourselves and believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, making him our God and following him alone, then we're given peace with God both in this life and in the life to come. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This means that not only do we get to spend an eternity in harmony and wholeness when we die, but we get to experience some of that harmony and wholeness now in this life. Friend, do you have peace in your life? Maybe you're here today and you're realizing that there isn't wholeness and harmony in your life and in your soul. Maybe you're coming to realize that you've tried to be God yourself and it has resulted in an eternal destiny that you don't want. Friend, if that is you this morning, then I urge you to turn to the source of true peace. I urge you to accept the source of peace found in the gospel by repenting, believing, and following Jesus. If that is you, if you want to find peace, then please come talk to me, talk to an elder after the service. We'd love to show you how you can do that. Or if a friend or a relative brought you, ask them how to receive it. Now, we've talked about God as our source of peace, and we can have peace with God in eternity. But what about this life, right? We can also have about it in this life. So what about this life? That's where we're at right now. Where can we find peace now? Well, Jesus himself tells us in John 16:33 when he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." If you want to find peace, you have to look to Jesus. Since Jesus is God in the form of man, and we are made in the image of God and supposed to be like God, then we should probably look to the one who is God himself and who perfectly represented what it means to be made in God's image. We can also find peace more broadly. Read with me Romans 14:16-18. "Therefore, do not let your good be slandered, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God and receives human approval." You see, this world was originally created to be a part of God's kingdom. God's rule and reign over creation is what brings harmony and wholeness into the world. Just as we find peace within ourselves by submitting ourselves to God, who made us to be made in his image, so too the world finds harmony and wholeness by returning to being ruled by God. But our broken relationships cause our institutions to not be ruled by God's kingdom. Creation itself is subjected to the effects of sin. Thorns in the ground, diseases, natural disasters, these are all the effects of sin that we let into the world so that everything has been tainted and is no longer subjected to God's kingdom the way it's supposed to be. When God's kingdom, when his reign and rule spreads throughout the earth, when we steward God's creation, when we use our talents and gifts to make our institutions and our cultures look more like God's kingdom, then the world finds peace. Lastly, we see the same concept applied to the primary instrument by which God's kingdom is advanced both in the world and in people's hearts, through the church. Ephesians 2:12-17 says, "At that time you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made no effect of the law, but consisting of God's commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that we might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, by which he put the hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who are far away and peace to those who were near." The church is an amazing picture of harmony and wholeness. This passage in Ephesians talks about how God brings together people from every ethnicity, every religious background, every social class, every personality type, every nation, and makes them one and unified, resulting in peace. When we want to find peace, we need to look no further than the church. Not only do we find peace together as one body, but we also work together to proclaim the good news of peace to those who are far away, and to those who are near. You see, our trouble is that we keep looking for peace in all the wrong places. Where are you looking to for peace? Maybe you're looking for military might to bring peace. Maybe you're looking to political parties or politicians to bring peace. Maybe you look to your family to find peace. Maybe you find peace in financial security. But friends, none of these are places that we can find true harmony and wholeness. We can only find it in Jesus and his kingdom and in his church. So stop looking for peace in all the wrong places and turn to the true source of peace. The first example that comes to mind of how to do this comes from my own marriage. Believe it or not, there is not always peace in the Kohlinger household. Over the 7 years of our marriage, Jordan and I have had difficulties where we've had sharp disagreements about something. These were really painful times as we both wrestled with how to move forward in the midst of that disagreement. We would both be hurting, and we would take time and space to work through what we were thinking and feeling before coming back together again. And these were moments that could have been breaking points for our marriage. But we were able to find peace and eventually resolution. How? We did it by looking to Jesus, his kingdom, and his church. We went off to process on our own, and when we did that, we would have to work through the fact that our spouse wasn't going to be the person who supplied us with peace. It's going to be Jesus that supplies that. We had to recognize that what we wanted more than our own way was for our home to be an extension of God's kingdom, and that helped us to work together toward a common goal and brought peace and reconciliation. And when we still couldn't figure things out, we turned to our church. Not only would we find peace in the Sunday morning services, but we could turn to the under members of our church to give us wisdom and guidance. So we've talked about the sources of peace and where we can find it, but we don't just want to find peace, we want to have more of it, right? We want to build it into our lives, invite this gift in. So how can we do that? Well, we already talked about the first way. We find peace when we make peace with God. Our hearts and our souls finally find rest and peace when we make peace with God by repenting of our sin, believing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and by following him as God instead of ourselves. We talked about this last week when we talked about joy, and we also find peace in our hearts through and souls through repentance. Psalm 85, 2-8 says, "You forgave your people's guilt, you covered over all their sin, Selah. You withdrew all your fury. You turned from your burning anger. Return to us, God of our salvation, and abandon your displeasure with us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger for all generations? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your faithful love, Lord, and give us your salvation. I will listen to what God will say. Surely the Lord will declare peace to his people, his faithful ones, and not let them go back to foolish ways." The psalmist says here that God covers over our sin because we repent of it, and he gives us peace. Friend, do you want to find peace? Then find it in repentance. Your soul will find peace when you turn away from sin. When we're free from sin, then we have Christ's righteousness. Isaiah 32:17 promises that the result of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quiet confidence forever. We can also be proactive in finding peace. We don't just want to repent of sin when we commit it, but we want to actively seek to not sin because that brings us peace as well. Romans 2:9-10 says, "There will be affliction and distress for every human being who does evil, first to the Jew and also to the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does what is good, first to the Jew and also to the Greek." Doing good and rejecting evil. This is how we are made to be in God's image, and doing so brings us peace. So how do we know what we're to do? How do we know what things are sin and what good things we should be pursuing? Well, the answer, of course, lies in God's word. Psalm 119:165 says, "Abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction. Nothing makes them stumble." And Isaiah 48:18 says, "If only you had paid attention to my commands, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. All this only aids us as we love and depend on God, which is another way, that another thing that brings us peace. Isaiah 26, 3 through 4 says, "You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. Trust in the Lord forever, because in the Lord himself is an everlasting rock." When we depend on our Lord, not our bank accounts, or our friends, or our country, or anything else, when we love God and follow his commands, God gifts us with peace. The last two things that bring us peace, and trust me, there are more, these are just the ones that I chose to cover this week, are things that we've already been talking about the past several weeks. Just as belief brings hope, so it also brings peace. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." When we believe in the promises that God has for us, when we believe that following his word and making him the God of our lives, God gifts us with joy and peace through the Holy Spirit. We've also talked about wisdom and how it brings our, it grows our joy. And it gives us peace too. Proverbs 3:13 through 17 says, "Happy is a man who finds wisdom and who acquires understanding. For she is more profitable than silver, and her revenue is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can equal her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths peaceful." This ties directly back to following God's word. Following God's word, doing what is right, and rejecting what is wrong brings us peace. And the more we grow in wisdom, the more we better understand how to follow God's commands. And the more wisdom we have, the more we can trust and rely on God, giving us peace. So as we go about our Christian season, what can we be doing to receive more peace in our lives? Well, it starts by making peace with God. And this is something that we've talked about a few times in previous messages. When we've repented of our sin, and when we accept the forgiveness of God, truly believing that we are forgiven, then our souls find peace. We can also find peace by not doing bad things, but by doing good. So what are the good things that you can be doing this Christmas season? Whom could you serve? What could you give generously of your time and money to? If you want ideas on things you could be doing, why not spend more time diving into God's word to get ideas of how God wants us to do good? Not only will you get all ideas, but you'll also find peace just by being in his word, like we talked about. And spending time in God's word is going to increase your belief, and it's going to grow your wisdom, which also is going to bring you more peace. You know, there have been a few short times in my short life that I have truly felt like the world was collapsing around me. And I don't just mean my world, I mean I felt like the whole world was collapsing. I got really distressed and scared during these periods in my life. But you know what has brought me peace each time? It's when I crack open God's word and listen to his word and I see his plan. Revelation is a great book to read when you don't feel at peace. Why? Because it increases our belief and our wisdom as we see where the trajectory of history is headed. So we've seen what brings peace, but I want us to quickly look at some of the things that peace does in our lives and our churches before we close by looking at what we should do with the peace that God has given us. And the first thing that peace brings us is joy. Proverbs 12:20 says, "Deceit is in the heart of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy." When we promote peace, when we try to see peace flourish in our lives, our families, our friends, our institutions, our country, then we have great joy. The second thing that peace does is it guards our hearts and our minds. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When we have peace because we're following God's will, loving and depending on him, and growing in wisdom, then that peace will guard our hearts and our minds. We no longer have to be tossed to and fro by the waves of our circumstances. No matter what the enemy throws at us, no matter what happens in the world, we will have a peace in the sovereignty of God and our place in His family, such that none of these things will shake us. And the third thing that peace does, that it actually makes following God easier. Earlier we said that in order to find peace, we have to follow God. But this is another one of those positive feedback loops. James 3:18 says, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace." If you obey God and are righteous, then it cultivates peace. And you use that peace to sow more fruits of righteousness in your life. And so, when you obey God, it gives you peace. And when you're at peace, following God is easier. Lather, rinse, repeat. Following God's commands gives us the tools to keep following God's commands. So now we get to the part that puts the onus on us. We've gloried together in all that peace does and how we can get more of it. But as we've been talking about, peace is a gift. It is both given to us and something that we can give to others. And peace is not meant to be kept for just ourselves. So let's talk together about what we are to do with this peace that God gives us. And the first thing we are to do is to live in peace with everyone. Romans 9:9 through 21 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. Do not lack diligence and zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony, shalom, with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath. Because it is written, 'Vengeance belongs to me. I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for in doing so you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good." I think we can just sit and contemplate everything that's just been mentioned in these verses. Like, I don't even need to keep on preaching. And to be honest, every other point after this is just simply another way of doing the very things talked about here in Romans 9. Everything we see here, or Romans 12, I think. And so everything we see here is how we live in harmony with one another. And this is not just for us to live in harmony with the people we like or the people who are believers, but everyone, including our enemies. When we do all these things, then we are living in peace with others. But this isn't just a passive situation of, I need to make sure that I don't have any strife with anyone in my life. Scripture tells us that we need to be actively working to bring about peace. Romans 14:19 says, "So then, let us pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another." Don't just make sure that you don't have conflicts with anyone, but actively work to increase peace in all of your relationships and help everyone else pursue peace with each other as well. Jesus tells us, "Blessed are the peacemakers." We should be advocating for peace everywhere we go, not only in our lives, but in others' lives as well. And in particular, we should be working to create peace within the church. Ephesians 4:1-6 says, "Therefore I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all." We are to pursue peace with one another in these walls. And then finally, the most important way we can give peace to others is through the spreading of the gospel. Isaiah 52, verse 7 says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald who proclaims peace, who brings news of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" What better way to bring peace to people and to the world than to spread the gospel of peace itself, helping others to find peace with God and each other? And as we close out our time today, I think we would do well to simply just contemplate that passage in Romans. There are many different action points for us here. It helps us to see and understand that having peace is not just a passive activity. It's something that we actively build and pursue, a gift that we give to others. We are to be peacemakers. So my question for you this morning is, where in your life or in the world do you see a lack of peace? Where is there strife and conflict? Where is God's kingdom not penetrating? And whatever it is that you have identified, be an ambassador for peace. What steps can you take to start to step into that space to make an impact for the kingdom of God? I've had to do this a few times with my extended family. There have been conflicts over how different families allocate time during the holidays. And Jordan and I have both actively took on roles as peacemakers in those situations. We've had to talk to different parties, even when it doesn't directly involve us, because it didn't seem like the parties were going to address the problem on their own. We sought to be bringers of peace, working with everyone involved to get things laid out on the table and helping them brainstorm solutions. So as we go throughout this holiday season, let us be always looking to receive the gift of peace, but also let us always be looking for how to give the gift of peace to others. Let's pray. God, thank you that you have gifted us with peace. Thank you for Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who makes peace with you possible. Thank you that we can find peace in repentance, righteousness, and in your word. God, I pray that we'd be peacemakers, giving others peace through the sharing of the gospel, or through our efforts to create peace in circumstances and relationships. God, as we transition to a time of worship to close our service, I pray that we would worship you as the God of all peace. And I pray that the offering that we take during this last time, last song, would be multiplied by you for the advancement of your kingdom. I pray all of this in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.